Twins and A's on the radio. Our lineup card at 5:30 today. First pitch at 6:10. Looks like a bullpen game. Bobby Nightingale to join us shortly from the Star Tribune. Game one to the A's. 2-0 last night. Twins manage only two hits. Tough night for the bats. And that has certainly been a strong suit for the club so far this season. As we mentioned, 3M Open, third round in the books. They moved it right along today. Everybody finished on a hot day. And the big story, 21-year-old Jackson Coivin out of Auburn. The young pro now at 20 under par, three shots clear, a 61, 28 on the back nine, including two eagles. Emiliano Grillo and Ben Coles, three back at 17 under par. Michael Brennan, Chandler Phillips, four back. Denny McCarthy, Billy Horschel, and Michael Kim at 15 under par. Of course, Kim shot the 59 on Friday, just the 15th sub-60 round in PGA Tour history. Of course, the lowest ever, 58. But 59 for Kim at the TPC of the Twin Cities. And then, of course, Scottie Scheffler, world number one, sits six back. He had a good round today, a 64. He got it going on the back nine as well. And then, of course, the Loons in action tonight on the Midway, Allianz Field, Vancouver in town. And the Loons looking for a win. They got beat by Sporting KC down I-35 in their first match back from the World Cup break, 2-1 earlier in the week. Twins and A's tonight, Bobby Nightingale joining us. And Bobby, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Dave.
The bats were quiet, just two hits and a 2-0 shutout loss. You did a piece on it, and the guy they were going up against, not very highly touted, but he gave the Twins fits.
Yeah, it was not a good night for the offense. I mean, left-handed pitching has just been a struggle for the Twins offense since the All-Star break. They're 0-4 in those games, and you know, some of them have been against tough starters. I mean, Matthew Boyd for the Cubs, Parker Mezick for the Guardians, but yesterday Jacob Lopez came in with a 6-plus ERA and hadn't pitched deep into games at all, and he ends up pitching a one-hitter in five innings, and Twins only able to get one more hit after that. And, you know, they grounded in three double plays. They beat themselves with some of their – killed some of their own rallies that way. But, you know, finding a way to hit left-handed pitching is going to be that's going to be their tall task. I mean, the Athletics clearly brought in left-handed pitchers out of the bullpen solely just to keep those matchups instead of bringing in some righties that have more experience.
Yeah, in general, and I mentioned at the top of the hour, the strong suit this year for the Twins is their run production. I mean, offense has generally not been a problem for the home nine this year.
Yeah, I mean, they still lead the American League in runs scored. You know, I think earlier, Cleveland always does such a good job pitching. Cubs, I thought, played some great defense and saved a few runs, especially Pete Crow Armstrong in center field. So I do feel like some of it's been a little bit of bad luck where it's like, okay, that ball probably drops if they're playing any other team. Guardians, you just give them credit. I mean, every year they do such a good job at preventing runs, whether it's defense or pitching. But yesterday, I mean, it was a dud offensively. They've had a few of those this year, not a ton. You know, the offense has been a strong point throughout the season, but obviously anytime you get close to the trade deadline and something goes wrong, you know, that's kind of when it becomes a little bit more worrisome than if this happened in, you know, the end of April.
Yeah, Bobby, I was on the air after the ball game last night with Chris Tubbs, and a game like that happens in April or May, you just turn the page. It's magnified at the end of July because the Twins are trying to hang in there, stay relevant in the division, stay relevant in the wild card race. And, oh, by the way, the trade deadline looms a week from Monday. So a lot more plays into the ugly games at Wrigley Field on Saturday and Sunday, and then, of course, Joe Ryan's rough performance Monday in Cleveland. It's all magnified at this time of year.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's one of those, it's kind of unavoidable. You know, players try to compartmentalize the, you know, the idea that it's like, okay, it's one out of 162. I mean, you have a good, strong week from here on out. You know, it's still yeah. fine in the long run. But as you said, I mean, it's tough when you have a couple duds at Wrigley, you have a bad game yesterday offensively, and things seem like they're piling up a little bit more. Joe Ryan now has to start pushed back until next week, so dealing with a little bit of arm soreness for him. So, you know, it's one of those things when you kind of have to look at a team and, okay, can this team really compete for the next 2 months? Can they fight for a playoff spot? I mean, those are all the things that the front office has to consider going into the trade deadline.
Bobby Nightingale joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And you can read his work online at startribune.com or in the paper. Bobby, as they turn the page, get ready for game two tonight. There's still an opportunity on this homestand. You got the A's. It's been a struggle. They're beat up injury-wise. And we know what a nightmare 2026 has been so far for the Royals. So there still are opportunities on this homestand for the Twins to gain ground again on 500 and hang in there in the division with the White Sox and Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, this is a homestand that they need to do well on. I mean, if you win the two series, you have a 4-2 homestand. I feel like that's kind of the mark that they have to shoot for. No matter how it happens, you have to get to 4-2 when you're facing two bottom seller teams. So, yeah, I mean, the A's haven't pitched well at all this year. The Royals have had as rough a stretch as they've had in a long time. And, you know, Bobby Witt's on the injured list. A's just got back their best hitter, Nick Kurtz, from an injury, but they haven't played well for 3 or 4 weeks now. So the Twins have to look at it as an opportunity, as you said. I mean, it's not like they're that far out of the division or, you know, that much in a different spot than they were at the All-Star break when it felt like vibes were really high and had a lot of momentum behind their back. I mean, they're a game or two worse than they were, but can easily make that up in the next week.
And Bobby, you've covered the big leagues now for a while. Do you think, and I know the answer to this, that it's got to be in the back of minds of certain players. Now, someone like Byron Buxton, who has strict no-trade clause, made it very clear, did again at the All-Star game, I'm not going anywhere, I want to finish in a Twins uniform, that's it. But guys like Ryan Jeffers, who are going to be free agents, his name keeps getting thrown around, and I'm sure everybody on the club knows that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those, even if the Twins are buyers at the trade deadline, I mean, when you're a free agent at the end of the year, you can still be dealt. I mean, and unless you're you're a team that's completely first place up by 10 games and just kind of looking how to set your playoff rotation, I mean, those are pretty much the only teams that really don't have to worry about their pending free agents going somewhere. So I mean, it's got to be in the back of his mind, and he's mentioned it a few times, Ryan Jeffers, in terms of just it's not something he thinks about every day, but definitely aware of the trade talks that are surrounding him. And you know, all you have to do is take one look in the stands and see all the scouts that are there watching him to know that, you know, he's one of the best catchers available on the trade market and teams are going to ask about him. And, you know, that's the team has to put themselves in a position to add at the trade deadline instead of sell, you know, if they want to keep all the guys that, you know, see their names in trade rumors.
Yeah, and Bobby, I know it's difficult day in and day out, you know, to kind of keep your ear on the ground to all of these rumors, and they're just that, but you know, you keep hearing the name Joe Ryan, and he did have a really rough start in Cleveland. But, you know, the idea that, you know, there could be interest in Ryan, and I would assume there would be strong interest in Joe Ryan, and I'm sure the Twins hear often about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, if he was available, he'd be one of the best starting pitchers on the trade market. I mean, he doesn't make a ton of money comparative to the rest of the starting pitchers in the league. He performs at a great level, an elite level. I mean, he's been an all-star for two straight seasons. So he's a guy who could fit into any playoff rotation. So it's not a surprise that other teams would be interested if he's available. But, you know, he's dealing with some arm soreness right now, so that could probably complicate some things. If the Twins traded him, I mean, that's pretty much waving the white flag on the season. I mean, there's no way you could replace a Joe Ryan for the final 2 months. And, you know, the starting pitching depth's already low as it is. So I think it would be hard to sell that as they could still be competitive even if you made that type of deal. So he said he expects to stick around past the trade deadline. I have the same sense. But it is one of those things. I mean, if this is turns into a terrible homestand and you get beat up by the A's and the Royals, you know, all options are on the table at that point.
Yeah, and you brought up Joe Ryan and the uncharacteristic start in Cleveland against the Guardians, 6 home runs surrendered, scratched from a scheduled start tomorrow against the A's. What have you learned? How much concern is there about Joe Ryan, or is this just a skip a start? What's your read on it at the moment?
I mean, he said, he spoke to him today through a bullpen session. He said it went well. He has no concern that he's going to end up on the injured list. So that's the good thing. But it's still, you're still pushing back his start at a minimum, you know, pushing it back several days. Obviously had the rough start in Cleveland where he probably didn't feel great. So it's not like he's felt 100% now and you know, you're able to flip that switch. Obviously he was dealing with something. So, there has to be at least a little bit concern that way. Like, okay, this, you don't want that to pile up. You don't want it to linger through the second half, especially if you're a team trying to stay competitive in the playoff race. But, at least short term wise, he was pretty confident, you know, this isn't going to be something that lingers forever and, that he can get past it and, you know, he can get back onto a normal schedule next week.
All right, Bobby, and tonight a bullpen game, the way it looks. Take us through it. What would this look like tonight if Derek Shelton and company could draw it up? How does this go tonight? Who's going to work early in the game?
Yeah, Mark Paredes will get the start, and then I wouldn't be surprised if Kendry Rojas makes a quick appearance after that. You know, best-case scenario, those two handle the bulk innings, and then you end up in the seventh with a lead, and then you can go to your top relievers like Andrew Morris and Yoandris Gomez, if it all works out. I mean, the A's are doing a bullpen game, too, so you got dueling bullpen games. But I think Mike Paredes, Kendry Rojas, and then maybe Jack Anderson figures into it a little bit. Had the save the other night in Cleveland. But he's pitched several innings in the minor leagues before that, so he's built up too. So they have a few guys that they can turn to give them solid innings.
And then finally, back into the bullpen, maybe solidifying a little bit that they've filled some roles there, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's when they have a lead and Andrew Morris and Yoandris Gomez are coming to the game, I feel like, you know, you feel strongly like, okay, they're going to shut this down. They both pitched pretty, you know, at a pretty high level over the last month and a half, 2 months. So that's encouraging. I mean, they still need to kind of solidify that sixth, seventh inning. Okay, when it's a one-run game, who are you going to there? Tommy Nance has kind of stepped into that since they acquired him in a trade before the All-Star break. But, you know, the late innings, the thing that was kind of the biggest question for so long this season, it does feel like that's solidified in terms of is a clear number one and number two in the bullpen with Morris and Gomez.
Well, Bobby, always great. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Bobby Nightingale, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. Twins and A's lineup card coming up minutes away at 5:30. We'll have a sneak peek at the scoreboard. Of course, the Guardians and the White Sox ahead of the Twins in the standings in the American League Central Division. We'll look at that. Sneak peek at the lineup. How they're going to go in this bullpen game tonight at Target Field here at News Talk 830 WCCO.